In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The sermon for the 14th Sunday after Trinity is based on the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter. When he saw them, the lepers, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks, as he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Thus far the text. It's understood that life can be busy with its ins and outs of faithfully fulfilling your different vocations, but not often enough do you sit down and truly ponder the Holy Scriptures. As with other actual events from history, events inspired and written for your hearing, learning, and inwardly digesting, this event, along with all of them which you hear each and every week, should, there's the key word, should absolutely stop you in your tracks and take your breath away. You just got done hearing how 10 lepers cried out to the Lord for mercy and were healed completely. No, it doesn't mean that you're supposed to roll in the aisles, speak in tongues, handle snakes, or wave your hands in the air to show God how you are moved by His word. But still, when one takes the time to ponder these actual events, if even in the slightest, what conclusion must they come to? Honestly, one would think it would be wonder, shock, or even disbelief. But instead, here's the common reaction. "Oh, I've heard this one before. Oh boy, I'm hearing about Jesus healing somebody again. Let me guess, I'm supposed to get something out of this text so that I please God." Do the miracles even impress you at all anymore? Probably not. Why? Because your sinful flesh brings you to be too self-absorbed. If it doesn't have something to do with you directly, then why spend time on it? Repent. "My will be done, or thy will be done." 10 were cleansed, 9 kept walking. But 1 was brought to return to the source of his healing. As they made their way to the priests, 9 didn't care how their healing came about, because their will was done. And in their eyes, that's all they were concerned about. That was their whole reason for crying out to the Lord. But one returned because God created faith, brought him back. Faith did what only faith can do: receive. The one returned and truly worshiped, as worship is rightly defined. receiving from God what he has to give. He returned because he was brought to believe that God's will was done by God through the God-man, Christ Jesus. Born in sinful flesh, faith is foreign to you, my fellow foreigners, my fellow sinners. Born in sinful flesh, you cannot by your own reason or strength come to Jesus Christ or believe in him. But the Holy Spirit has called you by the gospel and enlightened you with his gifts. It has kept you sanctified through Christ. God's will is done when he breaks and hinders every evil plan and purpose of the devil, the world, and your sinful nature, which do not want to hallow God's name or let his kingdom come. God's will is done when sinners are brought to repentance and belief in the gospel, for God wants none to perish, but all to believe. You are so apt to look at verses of Holy Scripture such as this and think, boy, God really revealed how gracious he is in giving these 10 a break in life. Isn't he? And he did reveal it, indeed. Jesus is revealed as Lord through such an amazing metamorphosis in history. But my friends, in Christ, Jesus is still with you, here, to heal you, to remake you, to forgive you of your leprous sins, and renew you in the peace that passes all understanding here through his word and sacraments. God's sufficient grace never changes. Yet here's the strange irony of the way that God works through his powerful word. He wants you to know how leprous you are. And it's only his word that can bring such a revelation to your hearts, piercing its pride and breaking it, bringing it to be contrite. And for the Holy Scriptures, this is nothing new. Law and gospel are how it's properly divided and understood. This is how God works to bring his will to be done, to break and hinder, to bring about repentance and belief, to have none perish, but all brought to salvation. And remember, for the Holy Scriptures, God's breaking and hindering are nothing new. It's what he does. It's how he works. But as for your fallen, forgetful, self-centered flesh, God's alien and proper work of law and gospel through his word is always new. Your sinful flesh is always in need of being drowned, for you are neither worthy of the things for which you cry out, nor have you deserved them, but you cry out that he would give them to you by his grace. For you daily sin much and surely deserve nothing but punishment. What is being revealed to you through this real event in history is the ever ongoing, enormous opposition between the flesh and the spirit. The epistle text for today is no accident. It cannot even be credited to the people who put together the historic one-year lectionary, because it's God's Holy Scripture revealing Holy Scripture. It proclaims, "Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." This is God's word making it glaringly clear who you are in your flesh. This is God's word making it glaringly clear that you are this bad off, that you are this leprous. This is how sinful your fallen flesh is. It doesn't care. It is what treats God's word as commonplace, so that you just keep on walking with the nine. You are that wretched. You do stray that far away. You call out for what you want, and when you get it, you're done with God for a while. It's no surprise that Luther writes in his Christian Questions with their answers in preparing one to rightly come to the Lord's Supper, that if there is no desire for the sacrament, if you really don't believe that you need it, if it has become just some common thing, then you should reach down and grab your flesh, thus making sure that while you're still in the flesh, you know that you are in absolute need of the sacrament of the altar. The desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. Repentance is a calling to the new man in you to turn you to go the way of the cross of Christ crucified, to die and rise through his merits alone. What he has finished for you is your peace and your joy. That's how you leave this sanctuary joyous, because you've had Christ crucified preached into your ears and into your hearts. There is your joy. Christ crucified. Flies against your reason, doesn't it? The nine reveal who you are in your self-centered flesh, getting what you want and moving on, continuing to make your way to the priests, living by way of the law, which will only reveal the flesh to be just as leprous as it was before. But the one who returns reveals the one who has been renewed. He reveals where the Spirit is at work. He reveals God created faith. And what faith does, it receives from the Lord. But the Spirit can only do one thing. He brings one to Christ Jesus. The Spirit created faith in this one Samaritan man brought him to receive such complete forgiveness, such complete renewing, that inevitably saving faith brought him to return to its very source. This Samaritan did not need to go to the priests, for as the epistle text proclaimed, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The Spirit brought the one to return to worship, the very one who would take his leprosy upon himself, taking it all the way to his crucifixion, making the way for man's true peace, the way for man's forgiveness, life, and salvation. The Spirit brought the Samaritan man to correctly praise the one who breaks your darkness. And just as he brought that man, he brings you. It's the Lord's mercy upon you that brings you back to him. It's his creation of faith within you that brings you back where his sustaining of you continues through his word and sacraments. The gift of faith given to you brings you back to worship him, which is to receive from him what he has to give in his divine service of you, to see you through this leprous walk of earthly flesh, to hear his beloved word of law and gospel, to be torn down, to be made into nothing, to be made a crushed beggar. And yet, because of the merits of Jesus Christ crucified and risen for you, it is also to be made anew through him. It's dying and rising to new life only through Christ crucified. It's to be set free from the law and to truly live in the one who is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law, for Christ fulfilled it for you. In God's divine way, only he could bring you to be thankful for such a crucifying of your flesh. So as you are brought to stare at him who became sin for you, as you have your eyes fixed on the author and perfecter of faith, as you are brought to eat his body and drink his blood, eating and drinking the very one who is your bread of life and peace, may he ever reveal your fully healed life, which only comes through the cross of Christ, crucified and risen for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.